This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of May 11th, 2025. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 395. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest, I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker, and on the Big Deal feature, Prime Minister Mark Carney visited Donald Trump in the White House, but tariffs continue to harm the economy on both sides of the border. For The View from Whatcom County in Washington State, I welcome back Ron Judd, the executive editor of the Bellingham-based Cascadia Daily News.
This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast.
The week after Canada's federal election, Prime Minister Mark Carney went to the White House and told Donald Trump that Canada is not for sale.
It would really be a wonderful marriage because it's two places that get along very well. They like each other a lot.
Well, if I may, as you know from real estate, there are some places that are never for sale.
That's true.
We're sitting in one right now, you know, Buckingham Palace, that you visited as well.
That's true.
Having met with the owners of Canada over the course of the campaign last several months, it's not for sale, won't be for sale ever. But the opportunity is in the partnership and what we can build together. And we have done that in the past.
Carney did not bring back any good news on the trade war front. The tariffs remain, and the tariffs are hurting Wall Street, Bay Street, and Main Streets in both British Columbia and Washington State. And speaking of Washington State, my guest this week is Cascadia Daily News editor Ron Judd. You can read Cascadia Daily News at cascadiadaily.com. It's based in Bellingham, Washington, and it covers the northwest corner of Washington, Whatcom and Skagit counties, and the San Juan Islands. Now, Ron Judd was my guest before the presidential election last November, and the interview ended by Ron saying,
"Thank you, Bob. And whatever happens, we'll try to keep the border open."
Excellent. Look forward to it. And keep the gas cheaper, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Canada has dropped the carbon tax. It's now zero. But the border, as Ron feared and a lot of people feared, is now a bit thicker because of Donald Trump's various policies, especially when it comes to trade. Fewer Canadians have been traveling across the border. The April statistics are about 100,000 vehicle crossings into Washington State from BC. April 2024, there are more than 200,000. Big question this weekend, of course, Ron, is what that'll mean for T-Mobile Park in Seattle, where the Toronto Blue Jays are playing the Seattle Mariners. Traditionally, the Toronto Blue Jays fans from British Columbia pack the place, and the Seattle Mariners fans are unhappy because they can't get tickets.
It's nice to be back with you again. The Mariners, the long-suffering Mariners, which I've often referred to in my column as the worst professional sports franchise in American history, at least modern history, probably have space for Canadians with the Blue Jays coming to town, and that's probably why the Canadian fans have always come down there. But the question is right now, and this is true of many things, is logistics, right? How much trouble is it going to be to get over the border and back? And that's now something that's built into the psyche, unfortunately, of I think a lot of folks on both sides of the border. And we've heard reports of sort of random, I like your term, thickening of the border, which is true. It's much less permeable than it used to be. There's exercises that are going on described to us as training exercises by U.S. officials for people going north across the border, where cars are stopped now individually, which never happened before, except during terrorism alerts and these kind of things. And it's really, I think, it's definitely part of the psyche of people who love to go to BC from our end. And I know that it is in the opposite direction because we've seen a lot of reduced traffic here in Bellingham area businesses. And it's definitely made the border an issue, as we predicted, right? We kind of saw this coming. I said kind of jokingly, I hope we keep the border open. And I guess we have succeeded in doing so, but it's not the same border that it was before, unfortunately.
Sorry. Trump's immigration crackdown has also reached into the northwest corner of Washington State. Cascadia Daily News has run stories about Northwest farmworker activist Alfredo Lelo Juarez Zeferino, who is in the immigration jail in Tacoma and looks like will be staying there for the time being.
Yeah, it's a really big story for us. And we've the biggest shift for us since the election or coronation, depending on how you look at it, of Donald Trump has been we are covering a lot more federal issues now. And we're an intensely local publication, but our intensely local news now involves national policies and national whims of the man in charge. And so we had a very, very sort of high profile raid of a roofing company in Whatcom County a few weeks ago, where 37 folks were rounded up and have been detained and charged with having illegal documents, work permit documents, one of the biggest roofing companies in the area. And this activist, who was very active in the local Latino workers union, was taken from his car and sent to the Tacoma ICE detention facility last month and had a hearing yesterday, which we covered. And the question was, can he be bonded out and released while he's waiting for a deportation hearing? And it's very interesting the way that this works in America, because the bonding process is not like in our regular courts where you can put up a bond, say, you know, for 10% of whatever your bail is and get out of jail while you're awaiting trial. You have to put up the full amount. These are things that we're learning about intricacies of our law. And the judge in this case is trying to decide whether she has the authority to grant release of this person, and his attorneys have argued, obviously for logical reasons, that he's not really a flight risk. He's trying to stay in our country, not leave, right? And so everybody knows where he is. He's very public. And so we're waiting a hearing on that. But it is those stories that we've written about those issues have been at the top of our charts for reader interest in our area. And so it's a thing that we're devoting a lot more of our newsroom resources towards covering.
And there's questions about people just wanting to get across the border to have some fun in Whatcom County. Coming up May 25th, you've got coverage of the Ski to Sea Adventure Race. It's been going on since the early 1970s. It goes from Mount Baker to Bellingham Bay. It's quite a big spring event in Whatcom County, but there's some question about how many Canadians will show up this year to actually compete.
Yes, we've always had a strong contingent of Canadians coming down for that event. It's one of the biggest sort of multi-leg races in the country, in our country. And it just the participants in that race are more than 4,000 people, because there's 8 people on a team. And they come from all over the world, really. And we have traditionally had a couple hundred teams from Canada that are mostly all Canadians. I've been in the race myself on a team where our paddlers were Canadian dragon boat paddlers, you know, and we always had, it was our annual meetup of our friends from BC, really a great time. And now we've heard from some people from Canada that have decided not to come down for obvious reasons. I think that the drop-off doesn't look huge in numbers of teams, because people tend to book this race way in advance, like 6 months to a year in advance, because it sells out. So I think if we're going to see a plunge in Canadian teams, it'll probably show up more next year. But I think that what will happen this year is that, you know, the event here is a thing with the entire population turns out to cheer these teams on. And I expect there will be a really huge rousing response for Canadians in the race this year because of all the politics. And I think that'll be a good thing, and it'll be very visible.
And not only have on the federal level, people been looking at and rating, debating the first 100 plus days of the Donald Trump 2.0 administration, but in Washington state, you've been looking at new Governor Bob Ferguson, who took over after Jay Inslee retired. How has that transition gone? What has Governor Bob Ferguson's first 100 plus days been like for people in Whatcom County? And is he looking at all about these trade issues and how it relates to British Columbia?
Yeah, Governor Ferguson, or Governor Bob, as I like to call him, he seems very much like a normal guy for a politician. He was our attorney general for a long time and was very aggressive about suing the Trump administration and also other federal administrations in the U.S., the Obama administration, too. He's very consumer-focused. That was a big part of his pitch in running for governor, is that I'm the guy that's going to look out for you. And as governor, he's off to what I considered kind of a stumbling start. I gave him a first quarter assessment of a C- letter grade in my column today, because he came out with a clunky beginning where he had to fire one of his longtime advisors, and there was some dissension in his office, and it was very disorganized. And then his first legislative session that just wrapped up a couple of weeks ago Washington State's facing a very large deficit of $16 billion over the next few biennial budgets. And so they've had to cut funds for a lot of things. And the political argument there was, should we make up this gap by basically finding ways to tax the rich more effectively? We have a very, very huge number of people who live in the Seattle area who are just fabulously rich because they've made a lot of money off of tech and other our sort of national onshore tax haven, because Washington State has no income tax. It's prohibited because of our state constitution. So it's been a very large obstacle in raising enough funds to have a decent infrastructure in a very rapidly growing state.
A proactive apology for the change in sound quality for the rest of this interview. When it was recorded in the morning of May 9th, a telecom utility crew suddenly interrupted Ron Judd's internet access, so we reconvened by phone.
Your latest column, A Modest Idea to Help Governor Ferguson Recover from Early Staff and Tax Stumbles. How about a Western Economic Summit with State and Provincial Leaders?
Yeah, I was just sort of giving the incoming governor an early kind of incomplete grade for his work after coming into office after Jay Inslee ran that show for 12 years. And he's had some issues fighting over about how to fill the big tax deficit Washington State faces over the next several bienniums. But just out of the blue, I noticed yesterday that there was a conference coming together of leaders in the northeastern states with Canadian officials to talk about economic uncertainty and ways to sort of work around, if that's even possible, or survive the tariff situation between the two countries. And it struck me as, if our governor wanted to kind of regain his political footing, a good way to do that and a very popular thing would be for him to organize a similar sort of summit in the western states and provinces. And I've graciously offered someone else a space here in Bellingham to host that meeting if they want to do it. I don't know, it's kind of a long shot, but I figured can't hurt to try, right? People need to do whatever they can to keep these issues at least in the forefront of the minds of the public, I think, and show the impact of this crazy economic situation, which is very self-defeating for our country and certainly doesn't help Canada. So who knows if Governor Bob will take that advice? I doubt it, but the offer stands for us to host something like that in Bellingham.
Yeah, this rift between these two countries happens in the same year that Canada is hosting the G7 summit. Mark Carney, the Prime Minister, is the host of that, coming up in Alberta. It happens at the same time as the two countries, Canada and the United States, as well as Mexico, a third country, should be actually focusing on the big event that's happening in June or July of next year, the FIFA World Cup 26, the biggest sporting event in history, the 48 nations hosted by three countries, yet they're not all on the same not on the same page on this. You know, Trump, of course, and the United States are hosting most of the matches, but this is a very huge logistical undertaking, especially from a security and safety standpoint. And there's going to be a lot of people moving across the borders for various reasons, and of course there'll be the need for accommodation, especially here in the Pacific Northwest. Vancouver's hosting matches, Seattle's hosting matches, all the hotels are going to be needed. How do you think that this event, which is going to need cross-border cooperation, is going to fare at this time when the federal governments are not on the best of terms?
Well, that's a great question, Bob. I mean, this entire thing is complicated logistically, as you know. It's unusual for FIFA to grant this event on a basis like this for these very reasons, right? People need to know that they can get to the events and the games and all of the hoopla that surrounds us. And it was sold to FIFA on the premise that these are countries with open borders that are going to work together on this. It'll be better because we have international cooperation and all of that. It was part of the groundwork for this bid going back many years. And that's just not the case today. I mean, I don't trust that there will be that degree of cooperation that's necessary. Can the event happen? Sure. Will it? Probably. Yes. But I don't think it's going to be a really good experience if it happened tomorrow and people had to get across the border in such greater numbers than they are today. I see large problems. Beyond that, Americans are looking at, you know, the Summer Olympic Games coming to Los Angeles 2 years later. There's a lot of countries now probably wondering whether they're going to show up to the United States for that event. And it's a real concern. And these are the kind of things that are the long trails of this disruption, right, like the comet of destruction that's happened from Trump taking office, that I think are going to play out over the next 4, 6, 8, even 10 years, that people haven't really grasped yet.
Now, we know that Point Roberts has been suffering and asking for help from the governor. There's been a few businesses that have closed there, including one of the parcel businesses. And of course, they're still digging themselves out of the pandemic soft closures of the border. What about the mainland side, the main side of Whatcom County? What about the businesses there? How are they faring? Are they doing anything themselves with the promotional standpoint to bring the customers back? Can they bring the customers back?
Yeah, they are. Some of the local businesses I know in downtown Bellingham are offering special deals, like, you know, the dollar at par for certain weekends and things like that. They're definitely worried about it. And I think that a lot of them have been, you know, some of the low-hanging fruit businesses of this kind of disruption, like the package businesses and thing in the town of Blaine, those kind of things are seeing immediate impact, like half their business just gone overnight. The bigger organizations, like, you know, the traditional ones here that are heavily trafficked by BC people are Costco and Trader Joe's. And we have a new Trader Joe's opening up in the north end of town that's always been sort of jokingly referred to here as the Canadian Trader Joe's, because it's a direct route to the Linden border crossing where it's located. And everybody was excited about that. It's like, spread the load at Trader Joe's. All the Canadians will have their own, you know, easier to access Trader Joe's, so I can park at the one downtown. That's still opening. So we haven't seen, like, you know, big adjustments from big retailers, but it's definitely something that they have their eyeball on, because it's a big hit in their bottom line. And initially, I think a lot of them were sort of just wait and see. Let's see how this actually impacts our traffic. And now they're getting the very bad news that, yeah, it's a significant impact, and it's going to be one for quite a while. Some of those bigger retailers have been through this kind of before with the border restrictions that happened during COVID, right? They've seen what that means, but, and that's good because they're prepared for the fact that they can survive this. But they've survived, some of the smaller ones have survived it once, right? And they're just getting back on their feet, like you said. And now along comes this disruption on the heels of that, when they're still trying to rebuild and climb out of the hole from the one that happened 4 years ago. And I think it's really going to take a toll on business in our county.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks. Yes, it's nice to be with you again. And 100 days seems like 100 years in many ways, but we're pushing forward here, and we will continue to try to keep that border open, even though it's thicker than it was. Let's do everything we can.
Breaker.news podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim.
In the Taiwan news, Taiwan Drone Alliance leads industry delegation to Estonia. Alliance signs MOUs with Estonian aerospace and aviation groups. A delegation of 8 Taiwanese drone, ICT, and aerospace companies visited Estonia on Monday and Tuesday. Meanwhile, Taiwan ranks first in Asia on World Press Freedom Index. Reporters Without Borders ranks Taiwan 24th globally, while China is near the bottom. Canada fell 7 spots to 21 on the list. In Kyoto news, Lost and Found services get helping hand from AI in Japan. Some 30 organizations have introduced a Lost and Found platform developed by Tokyo-based information technology firm Find Incorporated at about 2,300 stations and other locations. Find launched its platform in June 2023. As of the end of March of this year, the company had handled a cumulative total of about 1.5 million lost items, of which around 480,000 were returned. In Hong Kong Free Press, Hong Kong police take in relatives of wanted activist Zhou Tay for questioning. Former TVB actor Zhou Tay, now based in Canada, is one of 6 overseas activists whom Hong Kong police issued national security arrest warrants in December. He left the city in June 2020. Tay ran in the Canadian legislative elections last month as a member of the country's Conservative Party. He emerged 2nd in his district out of 6 candidates.
That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.news podcast.
Now it's time time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In Willamette Week, should Portland ban backyard beekeeping? Adding hundreds of thousands of honeybees into a previously balanced residential environment disrupts it substantially. Portland is the only major U.S. city that does not require an annually renewed permit. Most cities also mandate inspection and are typically stricter on hive density than Portland. In Crosscut, Washington parties, voter advocates craft 2026 midterms strategy. As Republican legislators opt for ballot harvesting, Democrats lean into town halls in predominantly red districts to engage new or reluctant voters. And check out thebreaker.news and bobmackin.substack.com for the stories behind these headlines. Nanaimo investment dealer banned for stealing from clients. And real estate marketer Rennie lays off 31 employees. Read the stories behind the headlines. Go to thebreaker.news and bobmackin.substack.com.
That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. It don't matter what color you are, 'cause love will conquer hate, so you won't stand alone, you won't stand alone. The virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to people across British Columbia who are bringing new and unique ideas to market, small and medium-sized businesses, the people promoting the business people in their towns and cities. A rising tide lifts all boats, they say, and it's needed now. May 11th to 17th is Economic Development Week in British Columbia. And you can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of May 11th, 2025. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 11th of May in 1973, charges were dismissed against Pentagon Papers leaker Daniel Ellsberg? The classified report revealed the truth behind the Vietnam War and led to the downfall of President Richard Nixon. Now you know. Send me your feedback, send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. And introducing bobmackin.substack.com. Visit me there too. Sign up for the free email newsletter and get updates to your inbox, or follow The Breaker News for news as it happens on X, formerly Twitter. And you can support The Breaker for as little as $7 a month. For more information, go to bobmackin.substack.com.
Until next week.